chapter number 3. Jonah chapter number 3 this evening. This morning we looked at Jonah chapter number 1 and number 2. We looked at some important truths that we can learn from the book of Jonah. The first one was that you cannot run from God. You can't hide from God. And we saw that in the story how Jonah tried to flee from the presence of God and it did not work. Also, we talked about different things we try to hide or run from and just tell God, leave us alone when it comes to certain areas of our life. We also looked at the thought that no matter where you're at, God can hear you. God will respond to the person that has a repentive heart. And what a wonderful thought. Even in the middle, in the belly's whale, the whale of the belly. So a couple of people told me this morning I made that mistake and said whale of the belly or belly's whale, whatever. Inside the fish, God could still hear from. What a wonderful thought there. And also we talked about how God is a God of second chances. And we looked at different Bible characters. And there's very, very few that the Bible does not mention that they did not do things wrong. We all know the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we know that pretty much every character in the Bible at least has some type of transgression, at least the bigger characters and the idea we know a lot about. But God's a God of second chances, and thankful for that. And don't keep on taking chances when it comes to your salvation. You never know how long we're here in this world, never know when Jesus Christ is going to return too. So let's remember those things. Tonight we're going to look at this thought, who can tell what God will do with a, and there's a blank there because we're going to fill in that blank with a couple different things. So to give you a little review for those that were in the back today, you know, God calls Jonah, tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. Nineveh is a city that he hates. It's a wicked city. It's known for being very cruel, even known to being cruel to Jonah's people. And so Jonah says no to God. He runs the other way. And most of us know the story. Did it really happen? I believe it did happen. The Word of God says it. Jesus even confirms the story. It's not just an allegory. We believe it to be true and factual that God sent a storm. The storm got to be so bad, they were throwing things off the boat to try to save their lives. They found out that Jonah was the reason why they were allowing that God was having the storm. They threw Jonah into the water, and the storm stopped. And then we see in chapter number 2, Jonah gets his heart right with God. And as Jonah gets his heart right with God, what happens? God gives him another chance, and he spits out Jonah on the land. So tonight, we're going to look at Nineveh a little bit. And inside this chapter, I see a passageway for us to be blessed by God. There's some different things that the people in Nineveh does, and God blesses them. And in this chapter, you might say, well, this is kind of strange. Well, we're getting ready for revival next week. We want God to do a great work in our heart, great work in our mind. And these are some things that the people in Nineveh did, and God responded to these things. And if we're willing to do this, God will respond to us also. Let's look what it says in Jonah chapter number 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching, then I bid thee. So not only does God tell him to go, he says, look, this is what I want you to say. And I think that's the way people are going to get right with God, if they're preaching the message of God. We'll talk about that in a minute. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. So we see he is following God's word now. This is God has told him to go. He is going to listen. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. So what does that mean? It meant that it took 3 days to walk through the city at a normal pace. That's how big the city was. You say, well, you know, different skeptics and different archaeologists, different things like that, they is kind of found out that now there's three different main areas and that Nineveh was the center of this area. And it's sort of like trying to walk through a place like San Diego. It's going to take you a few days to do that. And that's the purpose here is that Jonah, you can imagine Jonah didn't have a loudspeaker. Jonah didn't set up an auditorium. Jonah had to go from spot to spot preaching his message. So how did he get the word across? How did he get people to listen? He said, Pastor, we invite people to come to church. And, you know, not that many people come. So how did he get these great audiences and get people to listen? Well, many people think that, and even scientists say that if he was really inside the belly of the whale for 3 days and he got vomited out, he was going to be a pretty peculiar looking fellow, that the color of his skin would be different. He probably would have no hair. And he's a guy that pretty much came out of, you know, hey, what's wrong with you? Why do you look different? Well, a whale just vomited me out. You're going to listen to that. And that's what happens. And that's when God responds to this here. So we see as the story goes along, we have him going there in verse number 4, you see the message. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. I always thought that was interesting. Why in the world did he wait a day before he started to preach and teach the message? And I think it's portionally because, you know, once you're a day in, you're in. You're deep into it now. You can't just turn around and walk away. You go into the first gate and somebody says something to you, you get had temptation, just turn around and walk away. But no, Jonah goes a day's journey in and he cried. He doesn't just mutter it. It says he cried and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God. That's a great phrase. They believed God and proclaimed a fast. So not only did they believe God, believe what was said, they responded to that and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. So it's showing that it reaches throughout all of society here, and everyone needs to be right with God. It goes from the king all the way down to the lowest. Verse number 6, "For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hand." You can imagine what this would have been like. Animals not eating, the noises that maybe they made, people, all the they're just trying to see if God will do a work and if God will change the judgment that was called to. Verse number 9 is where we get our theme for the message or our title for the message. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Now you say, that word repent, that's what you tell us to do with our sins. It's referring to a change of mind. And as God responds to their faith, God sees them believe. And instead of bringing forth the judgment that was planned, God instead no longer brings that. Does that mean that God sinned and God was changing his sin? No, God doesn't sin. And God is immutable in the idea he doesn't change either. But in this story, it's saying he repented, he changed his mind. It means that why did he send Jonah there to tell them if there was an opportunity for them to get right? God is going to send people to hell if they don't repent and get saved. Does that mean he changed his mind about sending people to hell? No, it's because of the fact that we've responded with our faith. And you see here, it started off with at the beginning that they believed God, and then God said, and God saw their works. You say, Pastor, you said that salvation is not about works. It's not. They believed first. Then because of their belief, what happens? Their work comes. A faith that without works is dead. And if we truly believe and we truly have faith, it will produce a work. That's not our salvation. That's us responding to us believing and trusting. And it says, and God saw their work and they turned from their evil way and God repented of the evil. Once again, he no longer is going to hold them accountable to the judgment because of the fact that they repented. God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. To me, this is probably one of the greatest movings of God in all the Bible. One of the greatest revivals of all the Bible. You think about the day of Pentecost, and we make a big deal about the day of Pentecost and how 3,000 people got saved that day. Well, if there was 120,000 kids that were 5 and younger in this place, that means there's probably over 1 million people. And if that whole city turns to God, Pentecost was amazing, but man, this is a huge story here. It's supernatural what happens here. Where does it come from? What do we learn? What can we learn? How can we from that chapter learn how God can bless us? There's 3 things I'd like you to see here. First of all, they believe God. Verse number 5 says that. And I think that's just a wonderful phrase, just a wonderful way to put it. God's man preached God's message, God's way, and the people believed. They believed God. If we truly want the blessings of God, if we truly want revival, you know what we're going to have to start off with? We're going to actually have to believe God and believe what God says. You say, Pastor, of course I believe God and I believe what God says. Well, does it really change our lives? Habakkuk 3:2, another famous verse when it comes to revival, says, O Lord, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known. In wrath, remember mercy. And it comes to the spot. He says, look, I've heard your speech and was afraid because I believe what was being said. Church, many times we say we believe the Bible, we say we believe the Word of God, but do we act like we believe it? See, the difference here is Jonah gives this message, and I think it's interesting. Verse number 2, he says, he preaching that I bid thee. The way that people are going to truly repent, the way that people are going to truly get what God is trying to give them is when we preach the way that God wants us to preach. You know, if it was me or you, we might go to Nineveh and say, God loves you. And that's an important message. Sometimes that's the message people need to hear. But that wasn't the message that God gave to Jonah that day. God gave this message to Jonah. He was following according to the word of the Lord. He did exactly what God had told him to do. And he got there and he preached that message and people repented. People got right. I want you to understand, if we want others to believe, we cannot water down the gospel. We cannot water down the Bible. If we really truly want people to believe the word of God, it must be, I believe this, and with passion say, this is what God's word says. Be led by God. So why did God not destroy Nineveh? It's because they believed him. Second thing is, not only did they believe, they were broken. They were broken. You see what happens, how they respond. It says verse number 5, so the people of Nineveh, they believed God and proclaimed the fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. You know, sometimes when we say we believe God and we come maybe to an altar or at a chair and we say, yes, God, I know you're right and I believe what the preacher said. I believe what the Bible says. I know that's what I'm supposed to do. And it never changes us. They thought that in 40 days they were going to be overthrown. They were going to be destroyed. And this overthrown, that word kind of gives the idea of what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a destructive thing that was going to happen. They were going to be wiped off. They believed that because why else would they put the sackcloth and ashes on? Why else would they have stopped eating? Why else would they have responded this way? They truly believed that God was going to overthrow them. What do you believe today? Because if we truly believe in something, we're going to respond to it. I began to think a little bit about the different things that we say we believe, but really don't act like it. Think about this idea of hell. If people die without Christ, they go to hell. Do we really believe that? I think we would say yes, but do we respond to it? Yes, I believe it. Then is it really true that the person sitting next to you, if they're without Christ, they're not going to be in heaven with you? If I believe that, won't that change the way I do things? Won't that change the way I look at things? Won't that want to make me tell more people? If I really truly believe that, how about the one about be sure your sin will find you out? If I truly believe that my sin was going to be found out, then you know what? Maybe I wouldn't hide it. Maybe I wouldn't put up with it. Maybe I wouldn't just keep on feeding it and feeding it and feeding it. No, no, no. We say we believe it, but we don't respond. Nineveh gets blessed by God. The judgment is turned away from God, turned away from Nineveh. Why? It's because not only did they believe, they were broken about it. You think about when it says, you shall reap what you sow. We don't always believe that. We think everything's going to work out. Everything's going to be okay. I can live whatever way I want. And we keep on doing the same thing over and over, expecting something different to happen. Nineveh was blessed by God here. It's because they believed him and they were broken about it and they acted upon and they got to the point where they said, you know what? We're going to do this, this, and this, and then we're going to see what God will do. Look what it says here in verse number 9. The king, he turns around and says, let's have this fast. Let's do all these things. And then he says, who can tell if God will? We're going to do all these things. We're going to get in a spot and a place of blessing. We're going to believe God. We're going to act upon it. We're going to seek his face. It's like Habakkuk said, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. It says earlier in this chapter, they cried mightily to God. It's something they believed and they were broken about. And they says, you know what? We're going to put ourselves in a place where God can bless us and God can turn away this wrath from us. And we're going to do everything we can to show God that we believe him and that we are repentant. And then who can tell? Maybe God will change this. But even if God doesn't, we want him to know that we do truly believe. We do believe he can do all things. Do we believe that we will stand before God someday? I know we say that we believe these things. And I honestly believe deep down inside we do. but we don't keep them in the forefront of our mind. Someday we will stand before God on what we did for him in our life. That is an awesome thought. To stand before a judge someday. I know if I had to go to a court and I had to stand before the judge, I try to be prepared. I try to be ready. I've been to court a couple times, a lot less than somebody else in my family. I've been talking about the my speeding tickets. I'll get in trouble. So I got a couple speeding tickets in my life. And of course, Christian's driving now, so he's the one I'm talking about. So if my wife throws a hymn book at me, but when I go to court, I want to be ready, right? We want to be ready. We want to be responsive. I love you, honey. We want to be ready for court because we respect the position of the judge. And even though some of them are not being very respectful nowadays, that we respect the position and authority they have because that's what we're supposed to do. Do we really, truly believe that we're going to stand before God someday? See, they were doing everything they could. And the king said, who can tell? Who can tell? I'm going to do what I can and leave the rest up to God. The third thing I want you to see, not only did they believe God and that they were broken, they were blessed. God turns away the judgment. There's that famous verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. They believed it. They did those things. And God blessed them. Christian, I want us to get to a spot where we're not trying to convince God he has to do something. We just want to get to the spot where we can be a place that we can be blessed and just say, who can tell if God will? And I look throughout the Bible and I see what God can do with a repentant heart. I love considering that what God can do with a person's heart who is right with him, with people who believed and act on their beliefs. I think about what God can do with a backslidden Christian. If they got right, think about it. God used Jonah, who was in the belly of the whale and got vomited out, and God used him to bring one of the greatest revivals of all time. Amazing. We talked about Pentecost, a backslidden believer. God uses Peter, who denied Christ three times. Look what God can do with someone who will repent. It's amazing. You think about it, what can God do with a servant who believes him? You know, for those years, Moses believed in God, and God used him. You think about the stories of Gideon and Joshua and the Battle of Jericho and the stories of Caleb. They believed God. And God used them. Who can tell what God will do? It's not our job to figure that out. It's our job to be believing him and broken. Let it respond. Who can tell what God can do with a nation that humbles themselves and turns from their wicked ways? There's an example right here in our text. Look what he did for Nineveh. Who can tell what God will do with a church that glorifies him? And we see in the book of Acts, through the prayer, we remember Peter being freed from the jail, through the preaching, we saw the people responding. You see the book of Acts as the church is alive, and who can tell what God can do with a church? Who could tell what God could do with this church if we would be people who believed on the word of God and acted upon that belief and were broken because of our sins and allowed God to do whatever he wanted to in our midst? Who can tell what God would do with someone who gave generously? You think about that little boy. You say, Pastor, I don't have much. But think about a little boy with his 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Who could tell what God can do with that? Who could tell what God could do with that little bit that we have? Who could tell what God could do with a sinner who gets saved? I think about the example of Apostle Paul. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all expectation, except that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. An amazing thing. What did he do? He was just a sinner that's saved by grace. Who can tell what God can do? You think about the story, and I love this part. You know, you think about Rahab and Ruth and Bathsheba, all in the line of Christ, all women that we wouldn't choose to use. Ruth, because she was a Moabite. She would have been shunned in a sense in her day and time. Rahab, a woman who was a harlot, abused by men in a sense. And you know what? God, she believed God and she hid the spies and it was counted unto her for faithfulness. Who could tell what he could do with that person? Only God could. You even think about the example of Bathsheba, and I know it was an honor for Uriah in a sense too, but in the line of Christ there, the adulterous woman. Wow, what God can do. God is a God of second chances. Look what God can do. And I think what you need to do is start saying, who can tell if God will, but blank, what God can do with my life? I might not be anything special. I might have a past that most people would choose not to use. I might this, I might that. Who can tell? You know, all we have to do is, I see in this passageway, a way to get to where just believe God. And I'm not just talking about a head knowledge of a belief, a heart knowledge. Because when we believe it in our heart, we're going to respond to it. When we believe in that place called hell, we're going to respond by wanting to tell others. When we believe in the fact that we're going to sow what we're going to reap what we sow, we're going to start sowing to those things that are good, and we're going to start sowing bountifully. And when we start believing that our sins are going to find us out, that we're going to start leaving those sins behind because we don't want our sin to be brought public. And when we start believing that we're going to stand before God someday and we start thinking about these things, it's going to change how we live because we're going to be accountable to Him someday. Believe, but just not believe in. Be broken. That's the way that God can truly bless us. We see in this story, the king, who at this point in time was the king of a horrible nation, he responds, he sees, he believes, and he says, who can tell if God will? Not sure if God's going to do it, but you know what? It's worthy to do anyway. Not sure if God's going to do something supernatural in my life, but He's God, and He deserves it anyway. I know we're talking about our 40 days of going through the devotions and praying more and seeking God's face more and even having small challenges each and every day. Who can tell what God can do? Who can tell? But you got to believe in Him first. This evening, do you truly believe? Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? We see an example here. They believed what God said, and they responded to that. Let's not just say we believe. Let's live a life responding to those beliefs. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. Who can tell what God will do?